Ready?
Our evening began in Peter Sechelle's comfortable study in his New York townhouse.
No sleep till
Brooklyn!
Yeah! Brooklyn, Bronx, Queens, and Staten. From the Battery to the top of Manhattan.
Yo, rope!
Good evening, listeners of the Brouhaha. My name is Jim, but you can call me whatever you want. That's how we roll here on the unsanctioned, unlicensed, unofficial podcast of the Beastie Boys, the Brouhaha. And usually on the Brouhaha, we're about entertainment more than information. But if you listen today, you may leave with a couple nuggets of information you did not have when you woke up this morning. And maybe, I'm just saying, maybe someone that works on this homemade, low-budget Beastie Boys podcast saw the brand new short film, Fight for Your Right Revisited. Just gonna have to listen to find out. But before we get to that, and before we play a game of 20 questions with our friend Jen, I gotta let you know about my favorite Beastie Boys remix, which you can find over at the fine website, BeastieMixes.com. This was sent to me by Silence 7. It was remixed by T-Town MC. So if you go to BeastieMixes.com, search T-Town MC, no spaces in there, I don't think, and check out this remix. It is called Lee Majors Come Again, The Pole Position Experiment, my favorite brand new Beastie Boys remix over at BeastieMixes.com. Listen now.
It's been excusable.
Watch how I flip.
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 You look like a real jerk.
Well, I am a corporate executive.
You've got to sign things from happening.
So what you doing?
Well, Muffy Buffy Biff Jr. and I are going on a Sunday drive.
Oh, no, you ain't. You're going to play pole position!
You wanna take that? Take a look around you. You wanna.
there it was. Lee Majors, Come Again, the Pole Position Experiment from T-Town MC, and this can be found over at beastiemixes.com. And while we are talking about Beastie websites, I gotta say much love, much respect, much gratitude to Astro B-Boy, who recently left the fine website beastiemania.com. Gotta do other things, other pursuits in life. It is tough, and I can say this from firsthand experience, it is tough working in the pro bono world of entertainment. Some people get paid, some people don't. I actually have a day job in entertainment, but I also, on the side, I have a pro bono podcast, which you are listening to right now. We are going to take a break, and when we come back, I will tell you about a brand new short film that I just saw. And I think it was released by Oscilloscope Laboratories. So don't you go anywhere. Yes, sir.
It is what it is, come check the noise. It's the new black version of the Beastie Boys.
From the Beastie Brothers and the Beastie Boys with their beastly toys. They give you some beastly joys. So put on your beastly drawers and show me your beastly paws.
The brew. Do da dippity. Back in the cut, as they say here on the Brew Ha Ha. And just to let you guys know, I'm a tad bit under the weather today. So if I have to cough, clear my throat, sip some water, please bear with me. It's the season, though, for all of that to happen. I have a story to tell you. It does not start off well, but it has a happy ending. As most of you know, I am a huge Pittsburgh sports fan. And a couple Sundays ago, my Steelers, they lost in the Super Bowl, and I was depressed all week long until I got a text message from a friend letting me know that my favorite hockey team, the Pittsburgh Penguins, were practicing in Central Park on Saturday morning, a mere 25-minute subway ride away from me. So on Saturday morning, I went to Central Park. Not only did I see the Penguins practice, but I got to talk to the freaking Pittsburgh Penguins. Brooks Orpik, Max Talbot, Marc-Andre Fleury, Ben Lovejoy. How about that name? Coach Dan Bylsma. And a quick little side story, the Penguins' bus was sideswiped on Columbus Circle, so the Penguins had to get out of their bus, hail 14 taxicabs, and then take those taxicabs to Central Park. I was loving life. I didn't think it could get any better, but it did. Because a couple days later, I had to watch a movie for work. And this is what my wife said. Oh, your life is so tough. You have to watch a movie for work. I was like, well, I'm not complaining, but it's something I have to do. I had to watch the brand new Foo Fighters documentary, which is being released at the South by Southwest Film Festival. Because, you know, there's a film festival and a music festival. So I go to the screening room. I see one of my coworkers. And I say, hey, you excited to watch the movie? He said, well, we're actually watching two movies today. I said, huh, I only knew about the one. Well, what's the other movie? He's like, well, we're watching the Foo Fighters documentary and a Beastie Boys movie. I said, whoa, wait, you're joking with me, right? Because you know that I'm a big Beastie Boys fan. He's like, no, it's Foo Fighters and the Beastie Boys movie. I was like, oh my gosh, today is the day that I'm going to see Fight for Your Right Revisited. This is awesome. It gets better. 5 minutes before the film starts, who rolls into the screening room? Mike D and the King at Rock, and they sit one row in front of me. It gets better. 10 minutes later, M to the C to the A, and it's a must. He comes into the screening room, sporting an awesome Billy Goat Beard, the best Billy Goat Beard that MCA has ever rocked. He sits down. My mind is blown. I have been waiting months to see this film, and now I'm going to see it for the first time with the Beastie Boys in attendance. Are you kidding me? So before we talk about the Beastie Boys, and we will talk about the Beastie Boys, let's talk about the film. And let me take a sip of water right now and clear my throat simultaneously. This is a big spoiler alert, so if you want to be surprised the first time you see this movie, maybe you shouldn't listen to this portion of the brouhaha. And on the last episode of the brouhaha, we talked to Michelle Pham, who saw the film at Sundance. So some of this may seem redundant. I will not give everything away, but I may give some things away. The movie starts out, we hear that classic 1986 track, Fight for Your Right to Party, as the Beastie Boys roll out of the apartment. I'm sure all of you know that the Beastie Boys are played by Elijah Wood, Seth Rogen, and Danny McBride. They walk down the stairs. They are met by the parents of the apartment, played by Stanley Tucci and Susan Sarandon. And yes, they look just like the parents from the classic 1986 music video. And the back and forth between the Beastie Boys and the parents is hilarious. And I will give you an example of the dialogue. I think it was Susan Sarandon or Stanley Tucci. They said, you guys didn't have any sledgehammers at the party. You wouldn't bring sledgehammers to our apartment, did you? Like, no. Why would we bring sledgehammers to a party? Why would we do that? I don't even know if I own a sledgehammer. Then they say, there weren't any pie fights up there in our apartment, was there? No. Why would we bring pies to it? We don't have pie fights. Hilarious, because you know, in the classic music video, there are sledgehammer bashes and pie fights happening at the party. So the Beastie Boys leave the apartment complex and they roam the streets of New York City. And right now, let me tell you that the genius of this film are the small moments. You guys know that there are a ton of A-list actors in this. And basically, a majority of the A-list actors in this movie have 5 or 6 seconds to shine. And for the most part, they do. For example, Rashida Jones. She plays an uptight businesswoman. Beastie Boys try to hit on her. She says, you wish, turkeys. She's only on screen for about 4 or 5 seconds, but she nails her part. So then the Beastie Boys break into a liquor store. They steal some beer. And then they rampage through the streets. Will Arnett, He's a businessman. He gets hit with a beer and he spazzes out in classic Will Arnett style. And yes, very funny. One of my favorite cameos was Adam Scott, who plays the taxi cab driver. Beastie Boys hit his windshield with a can of beer. He gets out. He's like, you guys, you just hit my taxi cab. I'm not doing the scene justice, but his delivery, spot on. There is a young Loso Yock who appears in the film, skateboarding down the street, and coincidentally, her skateboard is stolen by MCA years before he became her father. And then I think he gets hit by a car or a bus or a truck or something. But he gets up because they still have a lot more rampaging to do. There's a great scene in a limo when the Beastie Boys are hanging out with rock chicks. Two parts made me laugh, and I won't give those away. And when you see the film, you'll know what two parts I'm talking about. But I also appreciate that there is some lighthearted ribbing taken towards the band Bon Jovi inside of the limo. And it's very fitting because Bon Jovi, they were around back in 1986, and they're still relevant today, much like the Beastie Boys. There's a part in the film, I think after they'll like break into the liquor store, throw some beers at people, there's a part where it goes classic Adam Yock rewind. We go back to the liquor store where Adam Yock, I think he did that too and got in for that number one spot where everything goes backwards. Beastie Boys are back at the liquor store and we hear the brand new song, Make Some Noise. And this is where Elijah Wood, Seth Rogen, and Danny McBride sort of mug to the camera and lip-sync the lyrics to the Beastie Boys' brand new song. And let me say, this song is vintage Beastie Boys. Not old-school Beastie Boys, but if you're looking at the Beastie Boys' timeline, this song would fall perfectly between 1992 and 1994. It's just so good, and we only got to hear one verse, and then the Beastie Boys continue rampaging through the streets of New York. Also got to point out that during that limo ride, Will Ferrell, he is the limo driver, he plays a cowbell, sort of an ode to that famous SNL skit, and we also see a mariachi guy playing a cowbell, an ode to the Beastie Boys' Hey Ladies video. So at the end of the movie, the current Beastie Boys are met by the future Beastie Boys, who pull up in a DeLorean. Not equipped with all the accoutrements of the Back to the Future DeLorean, but you get the point. There's a couple funny scenes, but there are many funny scenes throughout the back and forth dialogue between the old Beastie Boys and the current Beastie Boys. A couple moments, though, that I loved was Elijah Wood, who was Ad-Rock, and Will Ferrell playing Ad-Rock. Yes, he has double duty in the film. They kind of have a heart-to-heart. And then there's a part in this scene that's very poignant. And I don't know if director Adam Yauch intended it to be poignant, but it hit me kind of hard. Because while I was laughing, I was like, oh, that's kind of deep. Because Seth Rogen, who plays Mike D, he looks at the old Beastie Boys, who are buffoons, and it takes them 20 minutes to unroll this dance mat. And that is another hilarious scene. We're like, I can't get this knot. We shouldn't have tied the knot. I can't get the knot. I can't get the dance mat unfolded. So Seth Rogen, he looks at the Beastie Boys and he's like, I get it now. He's like, if we continue on the path we're on, we're going to turn out like those guys. And the Beastie Boys very well could have turned out like those guys. A novelty act. What if the Beastie Boys put out License to Ill Part 2 instead of Paul's Boutique, Check Your Head, Ill Communication, Hello Nasty? They may very well be a novelty act. But you know, the path, there was the path in the woods, and the Beastie Boys went one way and they didn't go the other. And in this film, we see what would have happened if they went to the dark side. So a dance contest ensues. The winner of the dance contest will be named the real Beastie Boys. The dance contest turns into a pissing contest. Literally. It is hilarious. I mean, anytime you have, I come from my brothers and I, there's wiener jokes, poop jokes, and pee jokes. So anything like that to us is funny. And then eventually, the real Beastie Boys, dressed as police officers, arrest all of the Beastie Boys, throw them in the paddy wagon, movie over. Michelle Pham, on the last episode of The Brouhaha, said her favorite cameo was Jack Black. And you know what? I don't think I can disagree with her. Because everyone in the movie kind of plays themselves. Seth Rogen has Seth Rogen's voice. Elijah Wood has Elijah Wood's voice. But Jack Black actually tries to do the gruff voice of MCA, and it's hilarious. Because, you know, the MCA, he's got the gruff voice. Even when, you know, during all the Beastie Boys songs, MCA has that growl. And Jack Black embellishes MCA's growl. So I would agree with Michelle. He is he wins the Actor of the Movie Award. So just some notes. For Fight for Your Right Revisited, I found out that it was shot in November. The Beastie Boys actually wanted to do this a couple years ago with different actors in mind. They wanted Ben Stiller to be part of it. That didn't work out. I guess MCA put out an open invitation, and all of the actors in it, they are the ones that accepted the invitation. And when you watch many of the actors, I mean, I can't even count them all. So we put out the word, and everyone wanted to be in it. Rainn Wilson, Orlando Bloom, who plays an excellent Johnny Rael with the satin Def Jam jacket. Is that what they call those jackets? Like the shiny kind of 80s jackets? Satin jackets? Maybe. I have one myself. I don't even know what kind of material it is. What else? Oh, the three new songs that we hear in the film, Make Some Noise, which is awesome. We hear the instrumental to Too Many Rappers, and yes, it has been tweaked. And then we hear the song Say It. And I remember reading on a message board someone saying that Say It is in the same musical family as Looking Down the Barrel of a Gun. And I would agree. fuzzy vocals, heavy music, fits that late 80s, early 90s Beastie Boys vibe. So after the film, we saw a teaser slash trailer for the film, and at the end, a graphic comes on screen saying that, hey, Hot Sauce Committee Part 2 coming out, and a brand new 30-minute video, which would lead me to believe that this short film will be released soon, and 10 minutes of whatever, because the short film's like 20 minutes, so 20 minutes of the film and 10 minutes of something else. So that's something to look forward to, brand new Beastie Boys video. And then following the teaser slash trailer, we actually got to see the full-length brand new music video for Make Some Noise, which is basically a highlight montage of the short film Fight for Your Right Revisited. And instead of Seth Rogen, Danny McBride, and Elijah Wood doing one verse, they lip-sync the whole song. Two things that I don't like about the video. The Beastie Boys dressed up as police officers did not make the cut. So the Beastie Boys are not even in their brand new music video right now. And then I love the fact that, you know, the Beastie Boy characters are mugging for the camera, but nobody mugs for the camera better than the Beastie Boys themselves. I mean, my favorite music video of all time is So What You Want. It's just the Beastie Boys dancing around in the woods, posing for the camera, and it's great. So I'm a little sad that the Beastie Boys aren't in the Make Some Noise video. And also, this is just trivial stuff. I think on the last episode of the Brouhaha, we were talking about how the Beastie Boys kind of retweaked their Fight for Your Right lyrics on the song Right Right Now Now. Well, that retweaked lyric pops up again in Make Some Noise, Party for Your Right to Fight. And I think there's a swear word in there somewhere too, because it gets bleeped a lot. So there's probably an F-bomb, party for your effing right to fight or something like that. Just trivial stuff. All right. So the house lights come up and there is silence in the screening room. And I thought to myself, come on, people. The freaking Beastie Boys are sitting right in front of us. So I took it upon myself to break the ice. And I said, would you guys like to open the floor up to questions? They said, sure. I'm like, okay. So my first question, a question that's been on my mind for a couple years now, you guys would probably ask the same question. And I did. I said it. When's the album coming out? And believe it or not, I actually got an answer. Beastie Boys were in the room with their people. You know, John Silva was a busy man that day working for the Beastie Boys and the Foo Fighters. And this is what I heard from the back of the screening room. April 19th. I said, really? It's coming out April 19th? And then I heard a voice from the back of the room that said, well, today the release date is April 19th. Which led me to believe that that's sort of a target date that's tentative to change. But hey, a date is better than nothing. So Mike D said, yeah, but you know, we gotta mix one more song, so it should be done today. And then Ad Rock was like, no, well, it's probably be done by the end of the week. And then Mike D said, yeah, but then we gotta do the artwork. And I said, hold up, wait, there's new artwork for Hot Sauce Committee Part 2? It's not the Beastie Boys going up the escalator with the little kitty cat. He's like, no, brand new artwork. It's exciting. So then I asked another question, raised my hand, and I said, in the film, we hear a tweaked version of Too Many Rappers, and in the credits, it's called the reactionary version of Too Many Rappers. I'm like, what version will make Hot Sauce Committee Part 2? Beastie Boys said, the reactionary version will make Hot Sauce Committee Part 2. So the version of Too Many Rappers that we know, it has been changed, it has been tweaked, and we will hear that tweaked version on the new album. And then I asked Ad Rock, I'm like, well, did anything else get tweaked? Like Pop Your Balloon or B-Boys in the Cut? Lee Majors Come Again? And he's like, yeah, I don't know. He's like, I mean, all this was done like 2 years ago. He's like, so, I mean, I just know Too Many Rappers was tweaked. And then I asked, because I'm a very curious Beastie Boys fan, will there be any live action happening, say, in New York City over the next few months? And the Beastie Boys said no. So I got the impression that no tour is in the works. So then the Beastie Boys got up. I made some small talk with Ad-Rock. I went over to MCA, and the first words out of his mouth surprised the crap out of me. He said, and I'm not lying, I listened to your podcast, and I found it very interesting that you had a non-Beastie Boys fan take on the film Fight for Your Right Revisited. And then he said, I'm interested in stuff like that. And he also added, yeah, and there was another episode I listened to where you were talking to the guys who made the Beastie Boys website, and I assumed that he was talking about the episode where we talked to Beastie Nut about BeastieMania.com. So not only has MCA listened to a episode of the Brouhaha, but apparently he has listened to multiple episodes of the Brouhaha. How cool is that? And then the Beastie Boys left, and it was a good day. So here are my final thoughts on Fight for Your Right Revisited. It does indeed pass my Beastie Boys litmus test. It has their stamp on it, it has Beastie flavor, and it made me laugh. It was funny. And here's how I'll watch the film when I own it. I will take the DVD, I will put it inside the DVD player, I will watch for 5 minutes, I will leave the room for a couple minutes, I will come back, I will watch for 5 more minutes, I will leave the room. It is that kind of film. You can jump along the journey at any part in the film, and it will still be funny, and you will still get it. And I think of the film as sort of like a comeback, because I was not a fan of the Nathaniel Hornblower short film that precedes Awesome I Shot That. Just for the fact that MCA is a funnier Nathaniel Hornblower than David Cross. And oh, by the way, Nathaniel Hornblower does appear in Fight for Your Right Revisited. Albeit he's only in it for like 5 or 6 seconds, but he is there with the mustache, with the lederhosen, and the wineskin. And all in all, you know, is it the greatest film in the history of mankind? No. But take this into consideration. The Beastie Boys were making a music video with a ton of A-list actors. And when you have that much talent in one place at one time, why not shoot a short film? So MCA, he did the right thing. We got a brand new music video, and we got a brand new short film. And once again, it meets my seal of approval, me being a Beastie Boys fan. And oh, by the way, we also have a tentative release date for the new album, April 19th. Yeah. So right now we are going to take a break, and when we come back, we will play 20 Questions with Jen Duggar.
I want to take this minute to introduce you to my people.
A-D-O-O-C-K-M-I-K-E to the D.
M to the C to the A. And it's the boss, the wives that we boss on the topic of lust.
It does go well with the chicken.
We have returned on the Brouhaha, and now it is time to play 20 Questions with Jen Duggar.
Hello.
Hey, are we allowed to use your last name? Are you okay with that?
Sure.
All right.
I'm okay with that.
Now, do you have a Beastie alias?
A Beastie alias? I don't think I'm cool enough for a Beastie alias.
Oh, my gosh. Are you kidding me?
Jim, I'm just a stay-at-home mom from the burbs.
Yeah, but before that... You were rocking out at 94 Lollapalooza.
I will tell you, I have some friends who call me J-Dugs, so if you'd like to use that, you can.
Okay. Now, how far back does your Beastie fandom go?
My Beastie fandom, I distinctly remember the summer before fifth grade, my friend Gina and I begged my mom to take us down to the National Record March to buy some License to Ill. So that is my first Beastie memory, because, of course, Fight for Your Right was all over MTV that summer, and we just needed to get our hands on that cassette.
And then did you go Paul's Boutique right after that?
I did go Paul's Boutique right after that.
Whoa.
I think my friend Gina was not a Beastie Boys fan anymore after License to Ill, but I stuck with them.
Because I know, I mean, we saw each other during when you brought Prof, well, I don't know if you brought Prof D or Prof D brought you. Who else? Wasn't there someone else with you at 94 Lollapalooza?
Yeah, Brandy McCown.
Brandy, yes. Okay. Yeah, I remember you three. And the story goes that they had lawn seats. Joe and I, we had seats. And what
you
we did was
seat.
We would sneak the stub through the gate. One person would come up, then we'd sneak the same stub through the gate again. And then we all kind of mashed up.
I recall the ticket smuggling, and it worked. We all were very close up by the end of the concert.
Yeah, and we all had a great time. And do you remember anything from that performance?
Absolutely. You know what? I've been to so many concerts over the years, and this is going to be a really big cop-out, but I remember having a really great time, and I remember the ticket smuggling, and I remember the Beastie Boys putting on a great show, and I remember singing So What You Want over and over on our way back to the car and not staying for the Smashing Pumpkins. I don't remember any particulars about their performance.
But you remember it was great.
I absolutely remember that it was great, for sure.
And I stayed for 3 Smashing Pumpkins songs.
Yeah, I think that was all that we could do.
Yeah, it was like, you can't, I mean, it was like you were just so amped up on the Beastie Boys, it didn't work.
It was a little anticlimactic.
It was. Because in Columbus.
And I was a fan of the Smashing Pumpkins.
I was too. Because in Columbus, I was so amped up and I said, I can't even watch the Smashing Pumpkins. And then in Pittsburgh, I was like, I'll watch their set. And then I couldn't do it.
Yeah, I remember we all walked out together and we just were screaming Beastie Boys songs. So.
Now, do you have a favorite Beastie Boys album?
I would have to say Paul's Boutique.
Wow. Okay.
Although my favorite single does not come off of Paul's Boutique, but right, that's my favorite album on the whole.
What's your favorite single?
It's So What You Want. You know, they can't ever top it. It's the best.
And I should also point out that every year my wife has a karaoke party. And for many years, you have busted out Beastie Boys songs and have done
them perfectly, rhyme for rhyme. Thank you.
Because doing Beastie Boys at karaoke isn't an easy thing to do.
I like to think that I'm a pretty decent B-girl, but
no,
I could just be
you
delusional.
You got the rhymes, and it sounds good, too.
Thanks, Jim.
Now, you being a female.
Yes.
A faithfully married woman.
Yes.
Let's talk before you were married.
Okay.
Did you ever have a crush on the Beastie Boys?
Oh my gosh, I was so obsessed with Adam Horowitz. When I found out that he and Ione were getting divorced, I was ready. I was of age and I was ready. I'm probably like 2 inches taller than he is, but that was okay.
Okay, because I had a man crush on Ad Rock as well.
Yeah,
I did.
I can respect that. I have a thing for hairy Jewish men. I don't know what it is, but you add the rap dynamic onto that, and I'm sold.
Okay. And do you know, you haven't listened to the Brouhaha yet, but do you know I spoke with Adam Horowitz today?
You did?
I did.
Oh, my gosh. I get to be on the same show as Ad Rock?
Well, we didn't speak on the Brouhaha, but we spoke before the Brouhaha.
Wow. Just the fact that you spoke to Adam and to me on the same day means
same
so
day.
Much to me. Wow, Jim, I feel important. That's awesome.
Yeah, so
That's awesome.
It's in the stars that you win 20 questions today.
Well, here, I have a little, I was wondering if you would maybe make a little accommodation for me. If you're willing to go a little easier on the questions, maybe you could just send me like a Polaroid of the diorama if I do well.
Well, how well is well?
I don't know, but, you know, I don't know, like even just a badly sketched out copy on the back of a receipt or something.
All right.
I'm okay with that.
So the deal
be
is...
gentle.
I will ask you, I will be gentle.
Okay.
Your goal is to answer 20 correct Beastie Boy questions.
Okay.
If you get stumped along the way, you will have 3 options for multiple choice.
Okay.
And then some questions, the way they're structured, don't allow for multiple choice.
Okay.
And then you're just on your own.
I will try my hardest. I hope that I don't disappoint any listeners with any lack of knowledge.
No.
I've been out of the scene for a while, you know, raising my family.
I know.
And
no, you're
still,
You're keeping it real.
Still a devoted fan, but all right, I'm going to try. I'm going to stop doubting and, all right, I'm ready.
But you've purchased all the albums, right? You have Hella Nasty,
have.
To the Five Borough. You have the mix-up?
Absolutely.
Oh,
absolutely.
Okay. There
I
you
have
go.
The mix-up on my iPod. I do not have the actual CD.
That's fine.
But I do have it on my iPod. Does that count?
Yeah. That's how people listen to music these days.
I do like their instrumentals. And I have to say that, as I've told you before, you know, we're raising the girls right because, you know, for a good long period of time, my Hella Nasty CD was missing. And I found it in my 11-year-old's room. So I just want you to know that we're bringing up the next generation.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Start the music. Right. Question one. On what Beastie Boys album will you find the song Intergalactic?
That would be on the aforementioned Hella Nasty.
You are correct. Hella Nasty. You've passed question one. On to question two.
Okay.
You're a mother, so finish this rhyme. And because I actually saw Fight for Your Right revisited today, so that track
was awesome.
It was.
Can't wait.
It was very funny.
I can't wait.
You'll enjoy it.
Sure I will.
Your mom busted in and said, "What's that noise?" Finish the line.
The correct line would be, "Mom, you're just jealous. It's the Beastie Boys."
All right.
Okay.
And I don't think your kids would ever say that to you, right?
I don't know. It depends on the day. No, for sure now.
Yeah, you would allow the Beastie Boys. You have allowed the Beastie Boys in your household.
I would never bust in and say, "What's that noise?"
Question number three. 2 for 2 so far. Not bad.
All right.
What DJ, and maybe I structured this question subconsciously.
Okay.
What DJ was manning the wheels of steel for the Beastie Boys during the 1994 Lollapalooza tour?
That would be Mario C.
Did you say final answer?
Maybe. Wait, DJ for... Wait, start again.
What DJ was manning the wheels of steel for the Beastie Boys during the 1994 Lollapalooza tour?
Jim, I don't know if I know that. Do I? Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Oh, it was. I don't want to use one of my questions on that. That's no. I don't want to waste a multiple choice. That's no good. It was.
He's got clout.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
He'll crossfade your ass and bust your eardrums.
Oh my gosh, Jim. I just had a total brain fart. I have to go back through lyrics. Give me a second. Oh, DJ Hurricane. Thank you.
Yes, you are correct.
Thank you for helping. I appreciate the assist.
Yeah, in the end, you know what? You're not the first, and you won't be the last.
Oh, my goodness. I appreciate it. Thanks. I'm not as well versed as some of your previous guests.
I know. We've got some nerds who have played 20 questions.
You have some super nerds on the Brouhaha. I mean, much respect, but wow.
Yeah.
They were teaching me things that I didn't know.
And
so.
One of our good pals, Prof D, he went to question 20.
I am not surprised by that in the least.
He may be the king nerd.
Well, I'll have to arm wrestle him for the diorama then.
All right. Well, you may get it. You're still on track for it.
I don't know that I'm making it to 20, but keep going. I'm ready.
Question number four. This is called, "What Song Am I?"
Okay.
I'm a pun on a popular breakfast cereal. Mike D leads his team to 60 wins like Patrick Ewing. And making a mixtape makes Ad Rock feel like a winner. What song am I?
I feel like I'm all thrown off now. Let me think. I'm going to need the multiple choice. I hate to use
no,
it, but...
No, it's okay. A, Flute Loop. B, Pop Your Balloon. C, Root Down. Or D, Triple Trouble.
That would be A, Flute Loop. And
Flute Loop is correct. Way to go.
You know, I have to say that cassette was just frequently, and yes, cassette, because mm-hmm. I wasn't cool enough to have a CD player when that album came out, but that cassette, little green cassette, was in my tape player all summer, so I'm a little ashamed of myself. but.
Now, did your track listing scratch off?
Of the tape?
Yes.
I think that it did, yeah, because it was printed in white, and it was all smeared by the end of the summer.
Yes, because at the end of the summer, I was left with just a green cassette.
Yeah, for sure.
But as I said on a previous episode of the Brouhaha, I think it was something with the texture of the colored tape where the printing just, for some reason or another, didn't stick well on that tape.
It didn't stick. It definitely did not. Yeah, because all the tapes that were regular colors with the black, you know, like kind of that beige color with the black, that always stayed.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
So
yeah,
maybe.
My tape definitely did not have writing on it anymore.
Maybe because your track listing wore off, that's why you had trouble figuring out Flute
Loop. There you go. I will tell you that Eden, my daughter, had a brief stint at playing the flute in elementary school, and the reason that she wanted to play the flute and not another instrument was because of that song. So, there you go.
And my wife once played that for. She played that loop at a live D-Boys concert, so we played Flute Loop and Sure Shot, yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah, so that song has a lot of history. And we move on to question number five.
All right.
Name the brand new single the Beastie Boys used to promote the Sounds of Science anthology.
The Sounds of Science anthology. Oh, what was that? Give me a second, because I need to... all of these things are kind of time-stamped in my head by things that were going on in my life when these things came out. So you got to give me a second to think back. So it was released the year that my eldest was born. And this is a new single that was released, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it was... Let me think. Okay, I honestly don't know that I know, because like I said, I had kind of gotten out of the loop at that point, but I'm going to guess.
Wait, now do you want multiple choice?
Yes. Give me a multiple choice.
Okay. A, Check It Out. B, Intergalactic. C, Alive. Or D, Country Mike.
Okay, it's definitely Alive, and that's what I was about to say.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I made you burn. I made you burn one of those. Okay.
You did not. It was my decision, but and I do enjoy that song very, very much. That's a song that is in heavy rotation and on very loudly when I'm driving in my car by myself.
But it's fitting that you had a kid that year, because that was a very kid-friendly video.
Sure.
With the fuzzy costumes. Because I think it was
she
inspired
likes the intergalactic
by Elmo.
Video. Well, she likes the intergalactic. She likes the robots.
Because intergalactic, also a child favorite.
Absolutely. Although my husband prefers the weird-sounding remix of intergalactic to the regular intergalactic. You know the one I'm talking about.
Is it like that dance one?
Yeah, that's his favorite, so... All right, I'm ready for the next
question
one.
Question number six.
I can't
six.
Go out before 7 now, or I'll feel like an ass.
Well, all right.
Give me an easy one, Jim.
You've had good stories. You've had good energy. You have been a great guest on the Brouhaha.
Thank you. Okay, I'm just delaying the question asking with my anecdotes, because I'm afraid.
Question six.
All right.
If the Beastie Boys are performing Heart Attack Man live, is Mike D... playing the drums?
I'm going to say yes. Wait a minute. Drums? Yeah.
So you didn't say final. Let me say it one more time. If the Beastie Boys are performing Heart Attack Man live, is Mike D playing the drums?
Are you trying to tell me to change my answer
no,
for now?
No, I'm just giving me an answer.
I'm going to say no.
You are correct. He is singing.
Okay. Good. Thank you.
I'll give you another question. This doesn't count. If the Beastie Boys are performing Sabotage, is Mike D playing the drums?
Okay, yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So sometimes he plays drums. Sometimes he, you know, he sings on the punk songs.
That's right.
All right. You have two.
I feel like I'm all off now, Jim. I'm all off. I need to get back on track.
I need to get back in the game.
I'm trying to focus.
And this, you've made it. You've made it to question number 7. Who is the middle child of the Beastie Boys?
Being like out of the three of them, who's in the middle, age-wise?
Age-wise, yes.
I believe that would be Mike D.
Final.
Yes, final.
You are correct. Mike D is the middle Beastie Boy.
Okay, excellent.
Question number 8.
Okay.
When the Beastie Boys re-released the remastered version of Paul's Boutique a couple years ago, what tweak did they make to the track B-Boys Bouillabaisse?
Jim, can I admit to you that I don't have the remastered version?
You just did.
Yeah.
And
it's bad.
I only bought it because, just because it was something new.
Yeah. Is it worth buying, or no, it's exactly the same?
Well, maybe this tweak would make it worth buying.
Go ahead, give me the multiple choice.
A, it excluded Ask for Janice. B, it was split into separate tracks. C, the original order was changed. Or
okay.
D, they were all instrumentals.
Ooh. I'm going to go out on a limb and say, because I know how the B-Boys are, you know, have been in their instrumental thing the last few years, and I'm going to say they made it all instrumental.
Is that your final answer?
That's my final answer.
You are incorrect.
Oh, what was it?
But thank you for playing 20 Questions.
Thank you for having me. Tell me the answer.
Now listen,
I need to know.
Hold on, Jen, listen. If you go to your CD right now,
yes,
you will notice that B-Boys Bouillabaisse is one complete track.
Right? Did they? That was my first thought, that they broke it up.
Sometimes that's a pain in the butt. You're like, I want to listen to Hello Brooklyn, but I got to fast forward
right.
through a year and a day and stop the train and get on the mic.
That's
so
right.
So what they did for the convenience of their fans was they split them into separate tracks.
I was gonna say that, Jim.
All right, well, and let me tell you what, as a, you know, you growing up in the 90s, me growing up in the 90s, whenever I wanted to throw any of those on a mixtape, it was kind of tough.
That's a good point.
They weren't broken up. So now you can easily put Dropping Names or Late on Me or Mike on the Mic on a mix CD without problem.
I was gonna say that, Jim. I don't get like a, you can't add like a 3 multiple choice plus 1 missed question for remedial Jen, can you?
So for Jen Duggar, my name is Jim Shear, and we will see yins later.
That's it, that's all there is. Come on.
Yo, we gonna end it on a 1, 2, 3 though. Are you ready? 1, 2, 1, 2, 3.
I guarantee we bring the brouhaha.
It's a brouhaha.